It's good to see you here this morning. Let's pray. Very straightforward prayer. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Do not be silent. Do not be a bystander. Be active. God, I pray that you will invade our thoughts, invade our hearts. God, there are so many things that are swirling around. I'm praying, Father, that you would overwhelm those with the power of the Spirit. Help us to engage you this morning. We bless you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing on our little journey down the road of looking at who, what makes us who we are. And as we look at this morning, the title of today's message would be Demonstrate It, Not Delegate It. We're going to look at a very simple story with Jesus and a few of his disciples. And probably one of the ways you could maybe phrase this also is it's caught more than it's taught. I know that for most of us, we have grown up with church probably being more like an academic exercise. And I'm all for reading and studying and knowing all kinds of good things. But at one point, we got to move it out of the head knowledge into some feet, some hands, some hearts. We got to get dirty. Jesus got dirty. In fact, the story that we pick up this morning with Luke, he's in the Sea of Galilee right next to the disciples, next to a stinky fishing boat or boats. I don't know about you, but I haven't been in many fish markets that smelled great. They must have not learned about Febreze. But most of us, I think, do a very good job of taking things in our head and learning about God, but I'm not so sure how well we execute the relationship with God. And so this morning we're going to be looking at demonstrate it, not delegate it. And this is a very powerful value for us. It's a very biblical value, because in it is inherent to it is that we're demonstrating that He's alive in us, that we're not serving a deceased or dead God, that we're serving an alive God, and He's alive and doing very well, and that while the body might be wearing out, the mind may not be what it used to be, the presence of the Holy Spirit is alive and moving, and that we're joining Him in what He is doing to demonstrate that in our lives. And we're going to look at that this morning in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around Him and listening to the words of God. Remember I just said, He's on the Sea of Galilee. Doesn't smell real well there right now. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, known as Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. You know, one of the reasons why I think he did that, just my opinion, is I think he wanted to make more eye contact. I think he wanted to personalize a little bit. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a simple man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled the boats up on the shore, and they left everything and followed Him. Point number one, John. Jesus demonstrated spiritual realness in the mundane of everyday life. He met the people where they were. He didn't call them to Him. He went to where they were. I want you to realize something today. When we talk about demonstrate it, not delegate it, you also need to be two things today. You need to be a great teacher, and you need to be teachable today. So you need to be a disciple maker and a disciple simultaneously. This is for the now, using what God has done in your past, so He can take that and you can be useful into the future. This is not something that we're going to talk about today and then leave here and hope the world is different, a better place. All those things that we like to say, it's time when we leave here to execute what God has stirring in our hearts. It is easy to quote Scripture, but it's more important to live it. It's easy to memorize it, but it's more important to apply it. So what we're talking about today is Jesus, such a powerful impact in our lives that we want to see the kingdom flow through us and have an impact on somebody else. And so Jesus demonstrated spiritual realness in the mundane of everyday life. Pause for a second and ask you this question real quick. Is your routine in life so set that there's no room for God? You see, Jesus had already met Simon and his friends. In fact, at some point before this, they'd had an encounter, all of them. There was an encounter here with these guys. So something was already stirring. So Jesus went to a familiar place, putting himself in proximity to a familiar group of people, the disciples, to teach them something. You see, I bet you if you'd interrupted Simon at the beginning of this story and said, Simon, what do you think's going on here? He probably would have said something like this. Oh, Jesus is delivering them a sermon, and I'm here to fish. I bet you at the end of the story, if you'd ask him, Simon, what was going on here? I hope Simon would have said, oh, he was here to preach them a sermon, but show them a real-life working parable with us. Big difference. Do you see your life as a sequence of opportunities to demonstrate what God has done in your life, the spiritual realness Jesus demonstrated to His disciples? Practicing this principle, going where the people are, allowing God to use the mundaneness of a routine to use us. God's not boring. God's not mundane. God's not in a rut. God's not dry. God's not asleep. God's not wondering if His church can do something. He's looking for people to join Him in what He is doing around the earth, around the world. He's ready to come next to us. Point number two. Jesus demonstrated the process of true growth. Now remember, I told you He'd already met His disciples sometime back, but now it was time for another life lesson. And he tried to help them understand something. That He demonstrated His desire for an authentic relationship. Sorry, John, I got you off a little bit there. I was on number two. Jesus demonstrated His desire for an authentic relationship. He didn't look at Peter, James and John, Andrew, and say, go do, and I'll wait over here. He gave them specific instructions because He was right there with them. Scripture says He climbed into the boat with them. See, there's a withness. Matter of fact, if you think about something for a second, I would encourage you to pay close attention to some of the emails that Dusty sends you all about prayer. And Dusty looked good on Facebook. I mean, he didn't look good on Facebook. I tell you, technologically savvy, I tell you. He's good. It only took me 6 times to watch you last week. That's okay. That's all right. Demonstrate desire for an all-thing related. Simon, James, John, Andrew, it's about you. I want to be close to you. I've got in the boat because of you. I came to the Sea of Galilee and hung out with the sticky fish because of you. Do the people in your life know that God is willing to use you in their lives because of them? You shouldn't have to tell them. You demonstrate it. An authentic relationship Jesus is longing for you today too. How authentic is your relationship today? Because Jesus has given us another day, another opportunity, inviting us to a closeness, an intimacy, that believe it or not, you were created to allow God to fulfill in you. That intimacy, that longing. What's missing? What's lacking? How authentic is your relationship with God today? Is it still just head knowledge? Or is it a realness? Point number three now, John. Jesus demonstrated the process of growth. As I was saying, He had hung out with these boys a little bit before, but now there was the next step. But think about something for a second. Jesus demonstrated the process of true growth, okay? What if before that, Jesus had walked up to them on the Sea of Galilee, and before this demonstration of what Jesus was trying to teach them, what if He had said to them, hey, I want you guys to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them and all those good things, the Great Commission? I'm sure that they would have looked at each other, or maybe looked at Jesus, like some of your children have looked at you and said, what? Why? Why would I go do that? Don't question me, just go do it. Why? Don't you love that three-letter word? Why? But He demonstrated there was a process. He knew they weren't ready for that commission yet. They had to have it with all five senses and that burning in their hearts that was yet to come until the upper room in the book of Acts. He was stirring it up. He was stirring it up in them. God's stirring something in you. I promise you, He's stirring something in you. If nothing else, God today might just need to stir a simple, "Hey, you know I love you. Did you know you're valuable to me? I value you today." That might be where you're in the growth process. Just realization of His immense love and care for you. But understanding that it was going to be a process. Because from this point forward, all them boys and those other guys and the ladies that hung out with, it was a teachable moment along the way for about 3.5 years. Jesus used what was in front of Him, the good, the bad, and there was no indifferent. It was either the good or the bad, and God said, "I can teach you in that." God's teaching you something in the middle of a circumstance, right? God's teaching you something, I guarantee you. And you and I struggle with being teachable. But we especially struggle with being teachable when life is difficult. Because here's what we most of the time want to be taught when life is difficult. Where's the easy path out of this, God? And God's saying, "Listen, I got so much more to teach you." Jesus demonstrated the process of true growth. Number four, John. Jesus demonstrated sweat equity. Honest to goodness, some days I feel like all I do is sweat out here in Savannah in July and August. I do. But you know what I think sometimes about the Jesus demonstrated the sweat equity? He had to trust all the points, but He had to trust that there was going to be an outcome that God was going to be able to use. When you're willing to invest, when you're willing to put in the sweat equity, you may not see results. I may not see results very early, but I'm staying at it because it's worth it. It's worth it to Him. I'm growing. And one day, I hope to see fruit in somebody else's life. Jesus demonstrated that sweat equity because if you remember, I told you, He went to a place that was not convenient. The fish had to stink. And I'm not so sure that it wouldn't have been an easier group of people around. I don't know. I don't really think those boys were that teachable right then and there. I think they were still kind of mulling this over. Yeah, I know Peter used the word master. He used the word master then. He saw himself as not a son. He saw himself as a servant. And Jesus was wanting him to see himself as a potential son of His Heavenly Father. So when you're in the sweat equity, when you're in there getting dirty, I know that sometimes it's hard to keep going. But realizing that Jesus got dirty for you. And Jesus got bloody for you. And Jesus paid the price and that sweat equity. He was all in it for you. So ask yourself, if He did it for you, aren't we willing to do it for others? Remember I told you earlier, be a teacher, be teachable, lead, and be willing to be led. Be faithful and available today. Jesus demonstrated that sweat equity. Every week, maybe every day for some of you, you have opportunities to invest in others. That many of us kind of, I think sometimes, I'm not really sure sometimes what we're expecting daily from God. I don't even know sometimes as Christians if we're expecting anything. I really don't. But the involvement, the investment that He has made in us is really not measurable. The love demonstrated through His sweat equity in us. What a blessing. What an honor. What a privilege that someone would take the time for me to teach and to speak to me and to take the time to put together all the versions of the Bible in the world at my fingertips. And then it's my privilege and my honor to invest myself in the sweat equity that He's invested in me. That pay it forward principle. Demonstrate it, not delegate it. John number 5. Jesus demonstrated what leadership is all about. I said this to you earlier. About Jesus took these guys and then they spent time together in all sort of different venues that you know about those stories. He demonstrated genuine faith. Sorry, John, I messed you up again. I don't know what's wrong. I'm distracted. I'll be honest with you. You know what? Hey, I want you to know something. Daniel's right. Daniel said I'm daydreaming. I'm distracted today. I admit it to you. I am. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not locked in today. I'm not. My mind is weighing on some other things this morning. I'm struggling a little bit. Pray for me. Jesus demonstrated genuine faith. How did He do that? He got dirty. He went to the disciples and he said, you need to do this. Jesus could have pushed that boat out there. Jesus could have thrown the nets over the side. Jesus could have called in brought in a huge haul. And Jesus could have said, see, this is all you got to do. But Jesus said, here's what you're going to do, and you're going to have to trust me. My faith will make up for your lack of faith. But it's because I've given you an opportunity to grow your faith. Peter and them did something that they'd already done all night long. So think about it for a second. Tomorrow morning you wake up and you go back to that same job with that same group of people in the same family that you had today, in the same routine, and the same over and over, and God says, hey, I need you to do such and such today. I need you to have one more conversation with so-and-so. I need you to have one more conversation with this person at work. And you're like, God, don't you understand that person is never going to get it? And this time God says to you, I don't want you to say a single word. I just want you to look them eyeball to eyeball, and I want you to listen to what they're saying, and then I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to speak to you. How about that difficult family member? How about that difficult circumstance? And God says, just one more time, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to reveal something to you. Jesus demonstrated the genuine faith by sending them back to do something that they had done over and over and over, but that night was a rough night. Tell me something. Do you really think that was by accident? I don't think so at all. Everything had a divine sequence of events to this story. Everything. Your life and my life is a divine sequence of events. A divine sequence of events. If you see it as luck, a happenstance, circumstance, or whatever you might see it as, then you need to change your outlook. You need to change your attitude and say, you know what? I believe in a sovereign God who is orchestrating a life that brings Him glory and honor, and that I have to take a different view. And I have to give Him a control that I have not been willing to give control of just yet. Jesus demonstrated genuine faith. Number six, John. Jesus demonstrated what leadership is all about. As I was saying, He took these guys and He continued to teach. He continued to demonstrate. It wasn't one time, now go do it. It was over the course of hours, by the way. This story, we read 11 verses, and it took me probably 1 minute to read those 11 verses. But this story unfolded probably over a few hours at least. Jesus demonstrated what leadership was all about because He hung with them. He stuck with them. He waited for the next teachable moment in the story as He was teaching the crowd. And then He said, now it's time to go do it on the next level. Come with me. Leave it all behind. I'm going to start making you fishers of men, Peter. It's the next step. It's in the next growth process for you guys. So how is Jesus demonstrating leadership in your life? You know, we're all leading somebody. Somewhere. We're all leading somebody somewhere. Okay? I can't tell you the number of times that people have been following me down the road and we just end up lost. Okay? I can't tell you the number of times that people have looked to me for leadership and I'm kind of like, man, I wish somebody else was willing to fill this void. And then God says, but you're it. You're it for this moment, for this season, for this time. Jesus demonstrated what leadership is all about because He demonstrated it and then just gave it away until it was time for Him to go away. Number seven, John. Jesus demonstrated His plan through this whole story, through this whole little series right here. We see Jesus demonstrating a much larger plan unfolding. We see it also, the fact is that it's kind of cool in the story that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were standing there too. You see, Jesus was talking to Peter a lot, but these other fellows were standing around, they were listening. I'm sure they were curious. He was demonstrating His plan not to just Peter, but to all the other fishermen and all the crowd what was going to be taking place. He was demonstrating His plan and how real it is. You know something, you know that God, no matter our age in this room, God has that plan in your life. And He's not finished with you, so He's not finished with the plan. Maybe we need to make some course corrections and say, God, what is the plan that I need to be getting on? God, how have you been unfolding this plan in my life? God, what are you up to? God, I need to know you more intimately so I know your plan more intimately. One of the great things about that Daryl Strawberry that I went to hear Daryl Strawberry speak, and he told a great story. If you know who Daryl Strawberry is, he played baseball for the Mets primarily and a few other teams. He was a great baseball player. He made lots of money. Now listen very carefully though. While he was making all that money, He had addiction issues. Bad addiction issues. Matter of fact, he retired from baseball, so had plenty of money. His wife literally went and got him out of a crack house and said, "We're done with this. We're going to do something." So he became a Christian. Lived in New York City. Started making a lot of money as a business owner. Okay, he had a business that was thriving. He said he was doing really well. He said, one day God said, "I want you to sell the business." And just like I would do and just like you would do, he went, "Huh? God, you want me to do what? God, I'm doing everything you want me to do. Why would you want me to sell that business?" He said, "You sell the business and I'll let you know the next thing." So he sold the business. He said, "Okay, God, I sold my business. What do you want me to do?" And this is what he said. Now, tell me something. I believe a lot of us, in some version of our own mind, and I know that we could have, however many is in there, we could have a lot of different versions of what I'm getting ready to say, but some version in our own mind, that plan that God has for our life, it probably has a lot of grandeur in it. Okay? Whatever that means. It might be being sent to another country to reach people. It might be sent to Savannah. It may be to start a Christian band. I don't know. It's just, there's some plan. Here's what God said to him. "I want you to go home, do Psalm 46:10. I want you to be still and know I'm God." He said, "God, you want me to go home and be still?" He said, "That's right, Darrell. I want you to go home and be still." Just like us? Well, maybe not you, but me. I'd be like, "Why?" This is what God spoke. So if you want number 7, you want 1 through 6 to be ruining your life, listen to what He said, because I think it's very appropriate. He said, "Because you need to go home and get in my Word and learn my principles." You see, we won't know His way, or we won't know His will. I'm sorry, we won't know His will until we know His way. Ponder that for a second. You know what God's up to in your life? He's demonstrating something. How often, especially for us who've been on this earth for a few years, be real for a second. How often has God brought somebody into your life, and when you're honest, you're like, "That's a mirror image of some of the struggles I'm going through." How often has God brought somebody in your life and you thought, "Man, I wish they got it. I wish they weren't so hard-headed." And then you pause, you daydream, you're driving down the road, and you realize, "Man, maybe God wish I wasn't so hard at it." He demonstrated His plan. He did all these things in the front of a group of people that He was going to entrust with for the future of His Father's kingdom. Of His Father's kingdom. Demonstrate it, not delegate it. It is a biblical value. It is really a non-negotiable. All these things can be worked out in our practical day-to-day life if we're willing to trust Him. John, go ahead and put that last slide up. As we come to a time of ministry, I'd put these three things up for you to think about. Are you demonstrating the Master's plan by letting Him speak to you on His terms? Are you being obedient to what Jesus is showing you to do, even if it's mundane? What if God told you to go home and memorize the book of Leviticus? Woo! Party! Probably most of you come back going, "Man, there's some strange stuff in the Bible. Did you know that thing about that?" Anyway. Are you taking responsibility for Jesus working through your life and the lives of others? I want you to ponder that last one for just a second. In fact, I want you to read it. I'm going to tell you one more story. On Wednesday, me and three other gentlemen leave for India. And we're going to train pastors while we're over there. And the gentleman that leads the group, his name is Doug Dorman. Most of you know him. And his contact in India, his name was Albert. Albert's 48 years old, a believer in India. You can be a Christian in India, but you better not let the government know. He is the point man for the trip. He gathers the pastors. He takes care of all the logistics. He hires a driver to drive him 8 hours. They gather these pastors from all over West India to be there. 2 weeks ago, Monday, Doug Dorman gets a phone call and said, from Albert's daughter named Jasmine. He'd had a heart attack and died. In March, his wife had been killed in a car wreck. He has two daughters named Jasper and Jasmine. They're both in their 20s. In India, if you're Hindu, you're cremated and your ashes are spread in the water, but they do not embalm, so they buried Albert within 24 hours. Albert was the only English-speaking contact that Doug had. And so Doug contacts the daughter, Jasper, and says, "I don't think we can come because your father was our only English-speaking person. And that if you can come, since you speak English, then we'll keep on coming." Jasper emailed back immediately and said, "Doug, you don't understand. The work of God must go on." And that really stuck with me. Tell me something. Did Jasper and Jasmine do that because Albert delegated that to her? He didn't wake up one morning and say, "Girls, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I got to cram it all in today so you can carry on the work of God." I know Jasper's 25. I don't know how Jasmine is. I just know that they're both in their 20s. Somebody, sometime, invested, but not in a bunch of head knowledge, but in a knowledge that says the hands and feet of God are real, it's daily, there's a plan, it takes sweat equity, and it's worth it. So as you look at those last three questions up there, consider these two things. God considers us worth it. Do you consider Him worth it? Let's pray. Just ponder those things. You got a card, you got an envelope. As you fill out those cards and those envelopes, as you think about your worth to Him and how action displays His worth to you, let me say that to you again. Your action displays His worth to you. I want you to think about that. How much He values you. How much He's trying to impart to you these things, these truths this morning. You can put down prayer requests, thanksgiving, praises. Be honest this morning. Father, you're incredible. You're amazing. You're awesome. As you continue to let God speak to you, you want to go ahead and bring your card and envelope up, that's fine. You can do that. There's one at the back you can do on the way out. I just want you to, I'm literally telling you to wrestle with God about some of these things. Time is of the essence. Become intentional. There are no more tomorrows. Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to us this morning? Like I said, if you want to bring your cards and envelopes down, you can at this time. Father, I pray for us in the next few days, the things that you're trying to impress upon us this morning. God, are we preparing ourselves to receive? Or maybe there's an unconfessed sin in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would become a people that praises you, that prepares you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the investment. In Jesus' name we pray this, Lord. Amen. All right, Dust, you're up.
I couldn't help but think about my mentor, the one who poured into my life growing up. And, my father in the ministry went home to be with the Lord a few years ago, died while he was preaching. But all the times he demonstrated, he didn't delegate. He showed me how to do it. Man, this message touched my heart today. I hope it did yours. We want to pray for two people today. Matt, come on down here. Come on down. Oh, this is his perfect time. He loves to be out in front of people and all that. I love you, son. All right, I want you to tell them what you're about to launch out on.
I am moving to Kansas City, Missouri. Just to grow up a little bit and have an adventure, and I have some friends there, and we're getting a house together. And
is there a job in your future?
Well, the whole
your dad wants to know.
There's the whole reason I met them is I make YouTube videos, and so I met them through YouTube, and now we're gonna have a YouTube house.
Is there something significant about this city and this place?
Oh, yeah. So before Walt Disney went to Los Angeles and became Walt Disney, he lived in Kansas City and was poor. And I'm basically, we're following the same paths.
So you're going to live in Kansas City and be poor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just want to get that out. So we're going to pray for Matt, but we're also going to pray for Dane. Tell us what you're doing, Dave.
I just told you what I was doing. Leave Wednesday, return October 2nd.
What are you going to do while you're over there?
We're going to train pastors. Doug Dorman's leading the group, like I said, and there's a couple of our guys go. We train them through the book of Romans. These gentlemen travel great distance and at personal risk to be there.
And will they be wild animals on this one?
Well, Doug's going to be there. that's all I got.
All right. Yeah, see it. Lions and tigers and bears. So come on down and let's lay hands on these two, and we're going to pray for them right now. We're going to anoint them and pray for them. Come on, Kathy. Come on, Ted and Lisa. Y'all make room for Ted and Lisa to get in here. Come on, Kath, get up here. Right here. Don't put your hands around his neck though, when we do the laying on of hands. Does anybody get a bigger room? Oh, okay. No wonder she's smiling.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. We anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dane, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Will you join me as we pray and we send out these two brothers? Lord, right now, we come to your presence and thank you. Thank you for all you have done. And Lord, Matthew said the word, adventure. It is an adventure when we join you, like Dane said at the first of his message, joining you where you're working. Lord, I pray you'll go before Matthew, that you'll provide for him. Lord, you've always provided for him. God, I'm asking you that you'll hook him up with a group of believers out there. And Lord, that you will grow him in the faith. And when he comes back, he'll have testimony of what great things God has done in his life. I thank you for him, Lord, as we've watched him grow up. Now, Lord, we send him out in the power of the Holy Spirit, asking you to work in his life. Lord, we know that Dane and Doug and the team, they've already experienced much opposition. I ask you, Lord, that in every way that you would rebuke the enemy and you would open the lives of these pastors so they can receive. Lord, and I know these pastors are going to give them, they're going to be the instrument of God given to Doug and Dane and the team. And I'm thanking you in advance of what you're going to do. Lord, I know that some of them are going to get deliverance. They're going to get their lives right with you in a way like it has never happened before in their lives. I pray your anointing upon Dane today as we send him out, Lord. May you protect him. May you guard him. Lord, guard his mind and his heart. Open the way for him, Lord, in every way where he goes. Lord, I pray there'll be no glitches in customs or getting through with the visas and all of that stuff. God, I just pray you'll place Dane and Doug and the whole team under your covering right now, and that he too will come back with a testimony of what great things God has done. Lord, we send these two out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of the Lord Jesus, under the authority of you, Lord, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you're in agreement with this, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're through singing. We send you out in the name of Jesus.